Okay, call us back into session after a short break. Next meeting we have on the agenda, next we're looking at new member orientation, and what this implies is the orientation for the new elected members of Congress. And I think we have Shanna Walker is going to join us on the telephone to guide us through number 8, the new member orientation. Did you get Shannon on the other one?
Oh, no, I want to get her.
Hello,
hang on just a second. I'm going to add Congresswoman Edwards as well.
So I'll need some input. And I thought it was very good what you said the other day when you went down to the state. That you did 2 weeks.
Yes.
And that's good.
And they brought the old legislators in, and they give you the what fors and why nots.
Oh, okay, and, hang on just a second. I'll
you know, and then you got to go to engrossment and see how that staff engrossed. And then you learned your timelines on first reading, second reading.
Can you both hear me?
I can hear you.
All right.
Oh, hi, Shanna.
It's enough. Please.
That's the moment, I'm not sure.
Okay, next item on the agenda is new member orientation. And being first time being second speaker and being in charge of these duties, I don't want to compare it to what my new orientation was, and I don't even want to talk about that on the air. But we need something that has been done in the past, and I think there has been a good attempt, a thorough attempt to orientate the new members through Robert's Rules of Orders, congressional rules, you know, how things operate here. But Shan, I know you have some information, things you'd like to discuss, so if you wouldn't mind at this time, we're listening.
Shanna or Shanna?
Shanna Walker.
Okay. For new member orientation, the first one we had a group come in and provide Robert's Rules of Order training, but we also had the clerk at the time gave information concerning our congressional rules and our congressional policies that were in place, and kind of shared the difference between Robert's rules and congressional rules. Might be a little bit different in that aspect. And Mr. Gill provided legislative process information and would go through the legislative process and walk through filing a bill and the process that it went through and everything. And there had also been discussion, but it hasn't been done since I have been with Congress, that there had been discussion at one time of having the Congress members that were retained kind of lead everyone in a mock session or something similar to that so they could see how things flowed. And there's been different aspects each time. So I've got all the information that has, I've got the rules, I've got policies and procedures printed, I've got quick reference so that you can look and see the different motions, what the vote count for those motions are, what's required for it to pass. I've got a quick reference as far as the legislative flow, a legislative flow chart that shows how the process, how the bill flows through the process, depending on different things that could happen to the bill while it's in the process. I've got all of that information, and it's ready to use or ready to be tweaked, and what to do, and we'll just make the orientation happen according to how the committee wants to move forward.
Thank you, Shanna. Let me ask you a question, and we'll back up to, you were talking about training for Robert's Rules of Orders and congressional rules and policies and procedures. Did you contract that out, or did Trey do all of that?
The previous clerk contracted that out, or presented the contract to Trey and the CA committee, and it was voted on at that time. I have, since then, I have received my professional parliamentarian certification, so I am able to teach according to the National Association. However, I had formally taught, well, I taught it in my classroom setting because I had to.
Right. Okay. Well, where I'm going.
That training, yeah. It's still up to this body as to whether they want to contract it out or what they're going to do.
I understand. And that's kind of where I was going with this, is why contract it out. I mean, you could do it, and we could, you know, that I don't know if that's part of your job duties or not, but we could. I think.
But I know of, unless you went with other duties as a mine.
Were you? Yeah. Shannon, were you expecting extra compensation for this? Because if you are, maybe we can do something. But if not, then extra duties as assigned would qualify, I believe. But were you thinking in terms of, you know, wanting to?
No, I wasn't thinking okay. in terms of anything. I was just throwing it out there that
no,
I have had that training.
It saves us money.
My certification.
So you could do both Robert's rules and the congressional rules, and with some benefit from other members of Congress pitching in with the policies and procedures. Then I think the mock session is a wonderful idea, but then the legislative flow and the bill filing, I think that's, you know, something that you could also present in the orientation. Any ideas of how long you feel this needs to, how many days this needs to happen? That's for anybody.
It's a lot of information to do in one day. I would suggest a 2-day orientation at a minimum, because there is so much information. But that again goes completely up to the spot forward. I don't know how much training the new members have in Robert's rules. I know that there's some members that were seated that have expressed that they would like more training. So
sure.
So that needs to be taken into account as well. And we can make it as short or as long as you want it. It just depends on how thorough you want to be.
Okay. Well, I think we need to be as thorough as possible, and I think agreement from the other newly elected ones, and, you know, even myself, I've been here for 2 years and feel that I want to sit through the orientation as well. So I think we'll try to decide here today on how long we need that to be, what times of day that needs to be, so that we can get this in place. Is there any dates that we need to get this done? Is this something that needs to occur quickly? And I'll open it up for any discussion here. If it needs to be closer to session, I'll leave that for the committee to discuss. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've informally checked with a couple, or at least the 4 new members, have some dates that some people are out of town to allow for proper planning. My suggestion would be August 7th. That is the first full Tuesday in August. That's still at the beginning of the month, so that will give you some time before session to have some training. It would also still give around 2 weeks for whoever's planning this to plan.
Okay.
So.
Yes, ma'am.
A suggestion to think about. I have full faith that Shanna can teach Robert's rules of order, but it might be advantageous to both her and somebody else for her to look to see if there's a person that she would like to partner with to teach that. And it would give her an opportunity going forward if she chooses to, you know, lend her talents elsewhere to have a, to have a, so I think it's a little unfair to ask her to create a mid and teach a full day course without getting any compensation, because that's really not part of her job.
Okay.
So, but well, if she was able to work with somebody else, that might be advantageous to both of them.
We can take that under consideration, but I'm going to remind again my orientation. And I don't want to get into the details of it, but I think planning a two-day orientation with the new Congress now, and with the resources that we have available, would suffice, because I know there's a couple of members who are already on top of it pretty well, and but we do want everybody to be familiar with how this works. But I have confidence that we can do this in-house without having to spend money and go out and bring people in and pay them. But
money, because we already budgeted the money, and we've actually in the past offered Robert's Rules and let people from the nation come to it as well. So I always thought it was a good idea. So we let board members come to it. I mean, it was a thing. So if you do it in-house, I don't know that you're necessarily going to be able to provide that opportunity. In the past, in the beginning, we sent all the members out to Robert's Rules. They chose which Robert's Rules they wanted to go to, and they went.
Yeah.
Then we brought it in-house, and I know that you got the short end of the stick, and that's a reflection of leadership, but I think we really should have at least every 2 years a good Robert's Rules training that the nation, boards, et cetera, can attend if they want to.
Sure. Right now, I just really want to focus on these four new members. And this committee will come to some decision, but I appreciate that input. I really do. So moving forward, anyone else? Committee? Committee? Any updates before we move on? If those dates work and we can plan Congresswoman prep.
You said the 7th, but while you were out of the room, they talked about having it more than one day, so I would say, what about that Thursday and Friday?
Is that a 7th?
Should I be available? It's like the 8th and 9th.
The 9th and 10th would be Thursday, Friday.
The 9th and 10th, a Thursday and Friday. At least that's a couple of days. And like, as part of this committee, I would totally be willing to, and a former speaker would be willing to help them. And I fully agree that Shanna can, and Dana's also certified, so that could be her partner. And that's how, I mean, they help us operate how we operate as far as Robert's Rules. So
okay.
I don't see why that would be a problem. And I'm ready and willing to assist in the process, in the new member orientation.
Did you have your hand up, Congresswoman?
I did.
Okay. So, Congressman Potts.
Well, let's try my hand at this one more time. Make a motion to charge the speaker, or sorry, the chair of Congressional Affairs, the vice chair of Congressional Affairs, and Congressman Scott Big Horse with planning a new member orientation to be held on August 9th and 10th.
August 9th and 10th is a Thursday and Friday. There's a motion on the floor.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Yes. Okay, next item on the agenda is equipment acquisition. And so, Congressman Potts, please.
Back on the new member orientation, just for a moment, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Continue.
Because there was some discussion of potential outsourcing of training to give you the flexibility. I'd like to make a motion to allow for up to $5,000 if the three of you determine that that's necessary, up to $5,000 for the outsourcing of training or new member orientation.
Okay, can you repeat that motion, please?
Motion to approve up to $5,000 for new member orientation expense.
There's a motion. Motion dies for lack of a second.
Okay.
Next item, again, number nine on the...
Well, without that motion, you guys can't even discuss it then. I mean, it's not even an option for you. Why?
What, discuss what?
Without proving that amount of money, that's not even an option for you guys to then look out house. Or get Shannon to partner with somebody. At least if you pass that motion, you could...
We know. We're good.
Okay.
Moving on. Number nine, equipment acquisition. Okay. This is, I don't know what this is. This is new to me, so I am all ears if anybody has any information about, you know, some documentation about equipment acquisition.
Second speaker.
Yes.
The equipment acquisition to the new member, the newly elected member's computer equipment or electronic equipment, whether it be a iPad or a laptop, whatever the choice they would like to have, that is what the acquisition is concerning. In our policy that says that each election year, when the new members come on purchase the six computers for them, or the six devices for those individuals, as well as we have included an electronic equipment for staff so that it rotates each staff member's equipment rotates every 4 years as well. That allows a consistent rotation without things falling out from underneath the warranty period, and make sure that everything is up to date. And at this time, we need to make sure that we have approval to be able to go ahead and order that equipment for each individual and get that equipment in the process of getting here.
Sure. Having said that, you're talking, do we need to ask each individual member if they would like to have, I mean, do we have existing computers? Do we have, I know I'm working off of a computer back there.
We have existing computers for them to utilize in the meantime.
Right.
However, prior to Congressman Potts leaving the budget analyst position, he had contacted a few individuals to kind of get a feel of what was going to be needed when we did get approval to order them. And we have that information kind of laid out. And I think there may have been one or two people that he had. There's a specified amount that can be sent that is already specified by our policies, and
what is that amount?
$1,750.
17.
I am not sure off the top of my head. Congressman Potts may be able to help us with that.
I think it's $1,750.
I think that's right. And if they wanted a electronic device that was going to be more than that, they could add to that from their own pocket and make up the difference.
Congresswoman Whitehorn,
generally that easily covers either a laptop or a iPad.
Okay, Congressman Potts, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Per congressional policies and procedures, the data processing equipment that was put in place, upon election or hire, each congressional member will have an allowance with which to purchase new data processing. The new members have the option to choose which equipment they would like to utilize for the next 4 years. The maximum amount allowed to be spent on the data processing equipment is $1,750, including any warranty, tax, and maintenance. Any additional costs must be incurred by the member. Congressional staff will utilize the Association's purchasing department to acquire new equipment. So,
$1,750 per person.
Correct.
Okay.
So, I had spoken with Congresswoman Lemon. Congresswoman Stabler, I have not spoken with you regarding what type of data processing equipment you would like. Briefly spoke with Congressman Big Horse before I left. and the two incumbent members that were reelected. I mean, it's Mac or PC. Those are the two questions, or one question. So with that, my account has been disabled, so I don't have access to my email to know how much is in my budget. I need to know that real quick before I make a motion on that.
Can Dana pull that up?
Don't believe so. Let me go.
Do we have last month's financial?
Don't have access to it.
Congresswoman Sable?
I have a couple of questions.
Yes, ma'am.
So there's PCs in the offices.
That have been,
that are already been there.
No, they've been assigned. They're assigned to other members.
So there are no computers.
Right. Each computer, the way we do it in Congress, you're assigned your computer. What they usually do when we have new members is they'll wipe those, let you have the old equipment. Mm-hmm. If you do want new equipment, you know, you can opt to get yourself a computer of your choice for that amount of money.
All right.
For the next 4 years.
Okay. And the next question, you said that if it's above the $1,750, the member incurs it, then who's the ownership go to? If you buy a $2,500 laptop, you have a $1,750 allowance, who owns the piece of equipment?
I think at the end of the period that it gets appraised, from what I understood, Congressman Platt.
No. the ownership belongs to the nation at that point still. It is then depreciated over the time period of your term in office, at which point it is offered up through the surplus property rule per congressional rule, and a member of the public would have the option to buy that once it is cleaned.
Okay.
But even if you chose to go over your $1,750 limit, you're out of pocket and hoping that you're able to obtain that piece of equipment at the end of your term.
Okay. All right. And third question, too. I saw some reaction. So is there an issue with Wi-Fi in this building?
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is an issue with Wi-Fi in this building. We do have Wi-Fi, but because this was set up as a temporary location, you only have two wireless routers. So Wi-Fi is intermittent at best. The members in Congress that are incumbents will attest to it frequently will drop. It's an issue. But we do have Wi-Fi. We are able to function. We're not left without internet, but it is an issue.
But when you say frequently, it's not like every day. It's there's
frequently.
Pieces, but it's not.
It's pretty good, but
that
it's,
crazy.
It can be frustrating.
Right, it's frustrating, but it's not that crazy.
Okay. All right. So there are desktops provided.
There's a choice. You either take the desktop or you take something else. Or I'm trying to.
No.
Everything is a laptop here.
Everything's
okay.
A laptop. Everything's
yeah, okay.
A laptop
it could be there. And then you can docking station.
We currently have docking stations. However, the equipment for what would be utilized for the new incoming members is at least 8 years old.
Okay.
So part of my job as budget analyst was to create this rotation cycle to where when six new members of Congress come on every 2 years or every 4 years.
Okay.
That equipment is replaced. So the oldest piece of equipment you would ever have in the building at the time is 4 years old.
Okay.
So we are due for at least those six new purchases.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, you had staff with computers that were 8 to 10 years old, which becomes very difficult when trying to connect,
mm-hmm.
Which is where you see a lot of the frequent problems with internet, which is why this whole policy was put in place.
Yes. All my questions.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Do all the staff have current updated equipment right now? Is any of our staff needing updates on their equipment?
Congressman Potts.
We at least need two. We do have an issue where some equipment was damaged, and that would need to be addressed at this time.
Two
staff.
Okay.
And that is part of the rotation cycle. I believe two staff computers because there are three staff members. So two would be replaced every 4 years.
Or equipment was what?
Damaged.
How?
It's an accident.
Well, somebody would ask if I damaged my mic, so I was asking.
That's fair. The equipment was damaged during session.
Through it.
Okay.
Okay, do we have the numbers you need?
I do not yet.
Okay.
I'm still looking.
It's okay. Shannon, is there anything else, staff, that you feel that you all need? Congressman Potts has said that you need, there's two individuals that need updates.
At this point in time, we could get by with two. It would be awesome to have three, but we can get by with two without any problems.
Congressman Potts.
Per the last revenue and expenditure sheet that I have on file, there's currently $14,650 remaining in the equipment acquisition line item.
Okay.
What was that total?
$14,654. So 1,750 times 8, which would be the 6 new members of Congress and 2 additional staff members, is $14,000. So at this time, I'd make a motion to approve the second speaker to acquire equipment for the incoming members of Congress and staff for up to $14,000.
Motion on the floor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion and a second for discussion. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Motion passes. Next item on the agenda, approval of the FY19 budget. Shannon, do you want to speak?
Yes, ma'am.
There's an email on my email, in my email, that has that from Eli from 2 weeks that has the budget there. It's basically identical to last year's budget. And I think there's maybe a $30,000 increase, and I'm not sure where that is within the budget. That would be a Congressman Potts question.
Date of receipt.
The date was, it's gonna be 3 weeks ago. I didn't make it out of my inbox. You sent me 2 things. There should be the only 2 things from that date. On the 22nd, maybe? June 22nd?
Should they have gone out to all the CAs
before that last meeting, too? They may have. He had a different CA. I know. I'll be here to try to find it.
You said on the
22nd? 22nd or 23rd, somewhere around there is when it's going to be in my email, but he emailed it to me. Was not discussed by the last CA committee that I'm aware of. So there has not been any changes or any alterations because nothing had been discussed in prior meetings.
That's correct.
I don't have it.
It's basically identical to FY18 budget.
You need to reset some print off.
I believe she's already on.
Are you trying to make sure you drink that much water?
Can we go ahead and start discussion if you would like?
Okay, discussion on the FY19 budget, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at the document. I know that you don't have it in front of you at this time. Our clerk is working to get that. The budget was not discussed by the previous committee. It is something that I put together before my departure as budget analyst. There is a $27,660 difference from the FY18 appropriation. Those amounts occur. It's $6,810, and you'll see it on part 3 of the budget that you'll see here in a second. It's $6,810 difference in employees' salaries and wages. $12,650 increase in employee benefits. There is $10,000 taken out of conferences, conventions, and special events and meetings. There's an increase of $18,500 in indirect cost, and $350 is taken out of other. The reason for those increases, in the $6,810 in employee wages, relates to the in-kind cash equivalent for health benefit. The amount the nation is budgeting this year was increased, so that is why you see that amount.
That's the maximum.
Correct. That is the maximum amount of contribution from the nation. So that's throughout the nation. Every budget is going to see an increase in salaries and wages by a respective percent for that reason. Employee benefits and taxes, very much the same reason. That amount is part of increase in health insurance costs. You'll see the six members in there as well. And I believe that should be the only reason for that increase. The $10,000 out of conferences, conventions, and special events meetings is due to congressional inauguration. That is the amount that we budgeted this year for congressional inauguration. That obviously is not going to take place in fiscal year 19. So that $10,000 is decreased. And then the 19.62% increase in indirect cost relates to the $6,810 in employee salaries and wages and the $12,656 in employee benefits. The reduction of $350 in other, I believe, was for bereavement costs for flowers or something to that effect. That was just residual leftover from the previous year.
Okay.
So that amount was taken out. Those are the only changes to the congressional budget that I prepared before I left, and happy to answer any of the questions.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Within that budget,
wait a minute, just one moment, please.
Within that budget, is there any consideration of what the online fees are going to be when we finally get the code, where it's going to be updated and kept on a monthly and real-time basis? Is that charge being there? Because I can't wait for that.
Please explain.
Mr. Chair, that specifically is not in there. However, that would fall under your professional fees line item, and there is typically a decent amount remaining in there. You do have it in there for IT maintenance and legal services and miscellaneous expenses. So that amount would be able to be covered out of your professional fees line item. So it's not specifically stated, but it absolutely is there.
Do you have the budget?
No, I think she's pretty
good.
Where would that fall, Congressman Potts, under the letter I, professional fees?
Yes, sir.
IT support and maintenance?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Shanna, did you have something?
Yes, I did. I just wanted to point out, I believe that you have executive session concerning personnel on the agenda. One of the things that may affect the budget may be how you determine to handle the bonus structure for the legislative branch staff. And currently, your staff has been awarded a small bonus that based on the process and the method that the executive branch is utilizing. And not only did they award a bonus, but they have increased salaries for two of your employees. And that is not reflected in the budget, I do not believe. And if it's going to, if we're not following the nation, that's what needs to be determined, is are we going to follow the nation's policy on their bonus structure for merit bonuses, or are we going to set a policy that is set? And we know from year to year what we're doing for the legislative branch that would be different.
Okay, are you talking about the 2% raise and the 1% bonus?
Yes.
Yes, we were given, staff members were given a 1% bonus, and then our salaries were increased by 2%.
Okay. Okay, Congressman Potts.
I absolutely agree with the Clerk of Congress. That was not taken into account when preparing this budget. It was my belief, and still is my belief as a member of this body now, that the salaries of the Congress is set by the Congressional Affairs Committee, not by executive branch policy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe that that should be reflected in our budget. I do believe that we need to address that in an executive session. And that is a very valid point made by the clerk. Thank you.
Thank you, Shanna. Thank you, Congressman Potts. Committee, anyone? So, in your opinion, committee, does this prohibit us from moving forward and approving this budget? Congressman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question would be to the incumbent members of Congress. The question that always comes up is our professional fees line item and whether or not we have enough or too much budgeted in that line item. Not at a disadvantage to any of the incoming members, but to the members that have been here, do we see any increased cost or anticipated cost that I may not have been aware of as a staff member?
Congressman Potts, do we have a comparisons with FY18 budget that we could look at and see variances?
Part three of the budget is the comparison to fiscal year 18 budget. The $289,000 in professional fees has remained constant for, I believe, the entire 3 years of the budget that I've been preparing. There might have been some fluctuation in the justification, but I believe the $289,000 has remained constant.
So in 3 years, we've been appropriated $289,000 and we've spent none.
No, sir. I don't believe we've ever exhausted that amount.
Okay.
Which is why my answer to Congressman Whitehorn was that we have residual funds available there for online code. However, it's not specifically stated in the support documentation.
Could we get an idea? Go ahead.
One thing that I know, I believe we've shifted some money around this year because of different needs. But in the past, we did have some money bonuses for sound enhancement in the chambers. And I would like for us to be there because, just for example, right now, I can hear you and whoever's closest to the microphone. Anybody else, I can't hear at all. And we've been making this effort. We got to the point of having somebody come and give us a bid on what we needed to enhance the sound in there, and then unfortunately the person died. So we need to still keep going down that path, so if you would make sure there's funding in there to enhance the sound in the chambers, we'd appreciate it.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Congressman Edwards. However, I do believe that those funds are appropriated through ONCA 17109 and I think 16125, that we're not subject to fiscal year limitations. In addition to that, you have an appropriation to the Capital Asset Improvement Fund for improvements to the Osage Capitol Building, which would allow for those costs. Both of those monies were appropriated to the legislative branch of government.
Mm-hmm.
So this committee would have purview over those funds as well.
Good point.
How much funds are
there? I know you got it.
Are there? How much is it? Give me a rough guess.
$400,000 at least for renovations to the direct chambers. And I believe it was around $1 million total for either a fourth floor renovation or moving the Congress to a new location, as this was discussed, that it was temporary at the time. That also includes renovations that will be taking place right next door.
Congressman.
Yeah, but I don't think that's appropriated to the Congress.
Congressman Park.
17-109 was appropriated directly to the legislative branch. The other appropriation was to the capital asset improvement fund. That is correct.
So I'm trying to, in my mind, is our sound equipment for this building, is it actually an improvement to this building, or is it something that we would take with us as a body to whatever building we would reside in? So those are the questions I have about the legislation. I just want to be assured that it's there, because I even know that our public, when we're having discussion at the table, the people sitting in those chairs, they can't hear a word we're saying. It's frustrating to them. It's frustrating to me. So we really need to get this sound straightened out and get on top of it.
Congressman Potts.
I hate to belabor the point. I agree. The $400,000, I believe, is directly under the purview of the Congressional Affairs Committee. All of those concerns can be taken into effect when the decision is made on what type of sound system goes in, whether that's going to be temporary or permanent for this location.
Okay.
And the funds are available. They're there, so we can do this. But I agree. It's frustrating when we're sitting here as a nation having to do this.
Embarrassing as a nation.
So.
With a cup.
I was going to say, we don't have the cup. We're in good shape.
Yeah, remember the cup. Congressman Potts, in your opinion, is this budget ready to be approved?
Pending no input from incumbent members of Congress on a professional fees line.
I think we should leave it where it is. Were you considering decrease?
Yes. I don't believe we've ever expended that full line. So either a decrease, or if there was something that I was unaware of as a staff member that would increase our costs, which I don't believe is the case from what I'm hearing, I would recommend that it stays the same.
Okay, that's what I would like to do.
So, Chair would entertain a motion.
Move to pass F-19 congressional budget.
Motion. You're a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What is not present in the FY19 budget, separate from Congress, it deals with the legislative branch of government, is any operating budget for the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review. So I don't have anything prepared at this time, I don't believe.
OFPR is not reflected.
Correct.
In that team.
OFPR is a separate operating budget.
Yes.
Still within the legislative branch. So if it is the will of Congress for there to be some Office of Fiscal and Performance Review, we would need to direct somebody to develop a budget for that, for presentation for appropriation in the upcoming session.
Budget analyst.
No, I'm not a budget analyst.
So, next item on the agenda, number 11, building renovation bid award. Okay, do we have copies of this? Members of Congress, do you have bid award? That's this, correct? I would like to start the discussion. This is about renovations of our temporary offices here, which is across the big wall, which includes, as you can see, demolition, general construction, mechanical, electrical, and plumbing. Estimated cost for this project is $100,000. And I'd like to open this up for some discussion. And
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
We received notice that the bids were going to be open, and then one day last week we had a contractor and a member of ELA, Mr. Rob Smith, he, the offices, and met with the contractor, and staff was informed at that point in time that the award had been made and the contract was going to be starting soon. I asked how soon soon was, and they expressed approximately 2 weeks, and that was toward the beginning of last week. And then on Friday, I believe, the contractor showed up and said that they were starting tomorrow. And the timeline was, I was informed they had 45 days to complete the project. That took us right there at the first week of session, budget session. So I did request that we make sure that we work room available and make sure that we have the break room available and that those areas be ready for us when sessions start. That way, if we have any overlap and they are not able to complete it within the 45 days, we wouldn't be completely disabled with our workspace.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I'm trying to get up to speed on this renovation. You said the contract has been awarded, correct?
It has been awarded, and they plan to start tomorrow. They will start demolishing walls and everything in that annex area supposedly tomorrow.
Okay, and do we have the name of who this was awarded to, the company?
I'm not sure what the company's name is. What's really been frustrating is we were not notified by TDLA of any information concerning the company's name. I know one of the contractors' names, the general contractor's first name is Steve, and the man that's supposed to be doing the work, his name's Otis. That's all I know. And I send us all the information concerning the award and tell us exactly when they were going to start, and we still had no communication with TDLA on that or purchasing.
Okay, well, I know TDLA is down here now doing some prep work or pre-work. They're all next door doing some things across the wall here, and they're moving things upstairs. I know that they're doing that. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, their Tribal Works is down here. Are they doing prep work for this, or?
All they're doing is moving our furniture out of this room so that the work can actually be done. Because all the furniture has, all the chairs and desks that we have stored there have to be moved. So they're moving those to the fourth floor.
Okay. And the contractors start tomorrow?
Tomorrow
it starts. And so they're going to be 45 days. Is that what?
45 days out. Yep.
Where does that put us?
First Tuesday in of session, opening day of session.
Okay. Has there been any attempt from TDLA to alert them to the fact that we have business, not only possible special sessions, but committee meetings, and how disruptive is this going to be?
I alerted them to that and reiterated it numerous times with Rod and the contractor when they were there. They assure me that the front four rooms on the annex side will be completed first prior to the area in the break room, the trim, because that area will require jackhammering, and that's just to get any cement saw work done or jackhammering done before session starts. And they're not anticipating the need to do that on the bathroom front of the bank building.
Okay.
So supposedly you're going to work with us to make sure that they do not interrupt our sessions or meetings or anything like that.
Okay. One other little quick question or comment too was, I'm sure members of Congress, as they've come in through the back door, the sound of that air conditioner back there sounds like it's getting ready to die.
Yes.
It sounds horrible, and I know it's not supposed to sound that way.
It sounds better right now than it did. It did sound like someone was knocking on it, trying to get out of it.
Right, right.
The Mason, their tribal work and got it narrow for them.
Okay.
He came and looked at it and changed the belts out in it. Think that it's all okay, but I can definitely call him and have him look at it again.
Yeah, well, I talked to Jason Duty this morning. He was going to look at it, and I told him we got some concerns about it. It's just going to be, if that goes out, it's going to be unbearable in here. I mean, especially with the heat wave that we have anticipated coming in the forecast. So just trying to look out for our staff and people that work here.
Absolutely.
I'll follow up with Jason on that as well. So anybody else have anything, committee, with regards to the building renovation, the bid award, lack of communication?
Is there
Congressman Big Horse?
Is there anything in place to ensure that this is done in that time frame, or are there fines or anything to keep him on track?
On track and on course. I can check with who's over TDLA now?
Silas is temporary.
Silas and Ross together.
Casey Johnson.
Casey is actually, but I think Silas.
Silas.
But Casey's actually.
Okay. I'll get with Mr. Johnson and ask him, but I think those contracts, when they're awarded, they have inside the contract the language that says, you know, if they say 45 days, and I know in the real world, if you get done early, you get rewarded for that. And then if you go over, you're penalized for that. It's kind of like some of our construction that we're seeing. So, and all we know, the contractor's name, who? Bubba and Smith? Otis?
Ross Smith. Otis is the name of one of the contractors. Ross Smith is the person from TDLA that came and was working with them.
Okay. I will work on better communication with that, receiving, you know, names so we can get past Otis and that. Yes. Congresswoman Edwards.
So,
yes.
That contract has a number of places where we select what we want to be utilized for tile, carpet, blah, blah, blah. So we need to make sure that they don't just say, oh, here you go, because we said we wanted to do that. It came back, contract came back and was being drafted for the RFP as it was being drafted. And we said, no, we want to do it. So, for example, we had that wood look tile in the front of the building, and it came back as linoleum, and we had to send it back again and say, no, we don't want linoleum. We want tile. So, we keep track on that.
That's not my forte, picking out drapes. So, whoever wants to pitch in and pick out tile and flooring and trim and carpet, please. I can try, but I don't want to get into a log jam of, well, I don't like this and I don't like that.
Let us know when it's time for that input.
Okay, I will. And I guess I can get with Silas on that, or Casey Johnson? I'm sure Casey knows a lot about picking out tile and carpet too.
No, he has no idea.
I'm with him too, I don't either, really don't care. I don't know the difference between marble and formaldehyde, I don't know. Okay.
Well, there's a big difference between stuff that we'll wear and looks period to the building.
Sure, sure, sure. I don't know, okay. Angela, I have to reach out to you for some input on that, okay. Any other discussion on the building renovation bid award?
No.
Okay. Next item, 401K trustee appointment. And so, Congresswoman Edwards, you had mentioned earlier that you would like for us to appoint a person who is active in the 401K, is that correct?
Well, that's what the plan calls for.
Okay, and so how...
The plan calls for two trustees, and they need to be somebody that's participating in the plan.
Okay, we'll start nominations now. Chair would open up nominations for special trustee of the 401K.
I nominate Eli Fox.
You can't, you're not on the committee.
She can nominate.
She can?
But she can't second.
You have to be second on the committee.
Can she nominate over the phone? So we're good. Okay.
I'll second.
Nomination and a second. All those in favor say yes?
Yes.
Yes. Opposed, say no. We have one no, Eli Potts. Sorry, he's been overridden. Eli, thank you. Not only are you going to be budget analyst, Congress member, now you are trustee of the 401K. Next item on the agenda, number 13, is OFPR whistleblower representative. Open this up for discussion, committee. We don't even have an OFPR office, correct? And how do we have a whistleblower representative? Who is handling the whistleblower cases now? Is that HR? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Office of Fiscal and Performance Review is charged by law with administering the whistleblower hotline. Mm-hmm. The reason this is on the agenda is because as members of OFPR either resigned or left the nation, those responsibilities fell to congressional staff.
Okay.
Starting with myself, actually, as becoming the OFPR representative, and then as Ms. Buchanan left, that responsibility fell to our assistant clerk, Dana. And now as I have left congressional staff, we are needing to now appoint a new OFPR representative to the Whistleblower Hotline Committee for administrative purposes, as Dana's already on the Whistleblower Hotline Committee.
There's only one option.
There's only one option. So at this point, I make a motion to appoint Clerk of Congress Shanna Walker as the OFPR representative for the Whistleblower Hotline.
Motion on the floor. Here, second. It's the only choice we have.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion. All those in favor say yes. Yes.
Yes.
Opposed say no. Shanna? Walker?
Yeah.
Did you hear? Don't get too excited. Right? Congressman Potts.
I hear you. I'm not upset. I'm not disappointed. I'm not throwing in the towel.
For discussion purposes. I believe that it is a burden to serve on that committee.
Okay.
It's definitely something that needs to be addressed by Congressional Affairs because it is our duty to either revive or reform the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review and make that a priority for the legislative branch of government. So I believe we've got to figure this out.
Good point. Okay, next item is executive session for personnel. Dana, can you set the chambers?
Make a motion to go into executive session.
Motion and second.
Ms. McDermott?
Yes. Go ahead. Who? Who asked that?
Shannon Walker asked, do you need me to stay on the line?